Thanks for listening to Star Lores. If you like the show, please consider subscribing and giving a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also help us make more great content by becoming a patron at www.patreon.com. We would also love to hear from you on social media. You can follow Star Lores on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Enjoy the show, and may the Force be with you.
You are listening to the Star Lores Podcast.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Luke, you've got to leave this to a man with some style, a man of subtlety, a man who knows his way around cities. Lando Calrissian, circa 3 ABY. The Chance Card, Landonis Balthazar Calrissian. Lando Calrissian was an unlikely rebel freedom fighter, and an even less likely general and ambassador. During the life of a man who gambled on so many things, the unlikely is bound to happen every now and again. Though he was a multi-talented person, Lando was a gambler, perhaps above all else. It was his skill in Sabacc that won Calrissian possession of the legendary Millennium Falcon from a spacer named Six Truvee. As he tells it, it was luck that led him to lose possession of the freighter later on to Han Solo in another Sabacc match. Without the auspicious game, who knows if a certain wanderlust-filled farm boy would have ever left his Dust Bowl homeworld. The chaotic eddies of Lando's provided Luke Skywalker the opportunity to book passage on the Falcon and save Leia from the Death Star, and then to dueling Darth Vader on Cloud City. The influence the lucky gambler had on galactic history did not end with the Battle of Endor, though. The often accidental effects Lando had on the course of history cannot be overstated, and are dwarfed only by what he accomplished intentionally. Until earning an administrative position in Cloud City, once again through shrewdly played card games, Lando had few political inclinations. Prior to becoming Baron Administrator, he held many temporary positions and traveled widely. The exact truth of his life and activities prior to 4 ABY is a matter of speculation, or else taking Lando at his word. Sources indicate that Lando was born sometime around 31 BBY. Calrissian recalls growing up on the arid outer rim world of Sakaro, where he had a fairly inauspicious youth. His mother was capable of memorizing hundreds of songs and poems, an ability which he may have inherited, aiding him in his gambling and business careers. Throughout his life, Lando maintained a suave, well-groomed fashion sense. Around 4 BBY, he had a neat pencil mustache and a short perm hairstyle. He favored a particular blue Tyrell cell weave shirt, and often wore a cape and captain's hat to solidify his debonair look. Lando occasionally smoked cigarettes or cigars, but this appears to be largely an accent to his style, more than actual addiction, as the cigars would often go out before he finished smoking them. Wherever he traveled, he did so in style. This was often a mistake, as he frequently found himself in bar brawls, embroiled in shootouts, and generally frequented unsavory and filth-lathered corners of the underworld, all of which would ruin his expensive and expertly curated clothes on many occasions. Lando's style was matched only by his charm and sweet talk, and as a result, had many romantic conquests, although several of these turned out to be rather disastrous campaigns. In one of these attempts, Lando won the Falcon back from Han Solo in a game of sabacc, and gave it back to impress Luke Skywalker's future wife, Mara Jade. Mara and Lando remained friends afterward, but nothing more. The Corellian Gambit. Did you know, old Pentapod, that these things were once used for telling fortunes? Lando Calrissian.
Calrissian began gambling and playing sabacc as a teenager, so Nar Shaddaa was a natural place for him to immigrate to. While there, his income was from legitimate gambling as much as from running cons and pickpocketing. In the course of his lucrative but dangerous field, Lando learned how to handle weapons like vibroshivs, sting beams, and blasters. His weapon of choice, while a freelance spacer, was the sting beam. This palm-sized blaster pistol was ideal for his purpose, as it was effective at short range but was easy to conceal. A sting beam wouldn't clash with his wardrobe, and could stop, for example, a Gamorrean who made him for cheating at cards dead. Sting beams could also be used as non-lethal weapons, which was more to Lando's liking as a romantic and connoisseur of the finer things in life. Nar Shaddaa being a pleasure destination, he soon made connections with luxury spaceliners while working casinos there, and found these ships to be even more ripe with financial opportunity than the smuggler's moon. He then spent time on various pleasure liners, bilking credits out of foolish but wealthy vacationers in games of chance that ended in Lando's favor far more than probability would dictate. In 4BBY, Lando's biography begins to enter the realm of fact, not first-person reports. At this time, he was 27 years old and a seasoned professional gambler. This was the age at which he first took possession of the Millennium Falcon. After this, Lando's life and career began to get even more interesting. Calrissian learned how to fly from Han Solo, and shortly thereafter used the Falcon to smuggle contraband as well as legitimate freight all across the galaxy, though his passion was never in spacing. During this time, he became known as Captain Calrissian. This period led Lando to discover an ancient secret about the Sharu civilization, experience rare stellar radiation firsthand, and save the unique aliens who lived in the Thonboko Nebula. The Silentium droid Vufi Ra aided Lando as pilot and partner. His association with this hyper-advanced, five-limbed extragalactic being is a fine example of the diverse individuals Lando associated with over his storied life. Rebels or Imperials, everyone and anyone, from the deep core to the other side of intergalactic space.
The Star Card.
Captain Calrissian first came to mainstream media attention in 3BBY when Holonet News reported a story detailing a scam he orchestrated that involved impersonating a Jedi Knight, then fleecing a pre-hyperspace group of beings from their valuable artifacts. It is actions such as this which earned the Gallivant his well-known reputation as a scoundrel and confidence man. But this was not the last time Lando received galactic exposure. In 1BBY, Calrissian was spending his time on the Titanic Star of Empire luxury liner. While there, he spent a good deal of time gambling in the Corellia room, and also met Kyle Katarn, a future Jedi Master and New Republic Commando leader. This vessel also served as a stage for the adventures of other galactic luminaries, like Mamon Hul, Dash Rendar, and the Aranda twins. Unable to shake media attention, Tri-Nebulon News published details about Calrissian's recent military advising of the Tenab Defense Fleet. Cinnabar's Infonet also ran a story about the captain and his relative lack of action the months following the Battle of Tenab. Due to details of the battle reaching the Red Bull Alliance through news channels, Lando would eventually be promoted to general in that organization. 2 years later, Lando made the news again, as Big CYN reported that he won and lost a business concern on Ord Weilen. Taking the Baron Administrator position on Cloud City also earned Lando yet another feature run by Big CYN about his life. Action Tidings, the Ugnaught news publication, dispatched a veteran Ugnaught rights correspondent, Ars Ars Fievel, to get a rare interview from Baron Administrator Calrissian shortly after he took on the role.
The Idiot's Array. Despite experiencing some financial prosperity as a freelance spacer, an investment of Lando's soured, and in 3BBY, he was in dire financial straits. So he gambled one of the only items of value he had left, and Han Solo won the Millennium Falcon, Lando's favorite and fastest starship, in a Sabacc tournament. This was the first of many starships that Lando won and lost, and the Falcon entered and exited his possession about a half dozen times over the years through gambling. A little while later, Lando entered another gambling tournament at Cloud City on the gas giant of Bespin. By this time, he had procured another starship, the Cobra, and he lost this as well. Fortunately for him, a representative of Cloud City's Ugnaught labor force used funds from his constituents to sponsor Calrissian's further participation in the tournament, and Lando managed to win it in the end. Lobot, Cloud City's cyborg liaison, was the agent behind distributing Lando's needed gambling funds, and the pair thereafter formed a fruitful business relationship. In Lobot's extensive calculations, he determined that Lando was still likely to win the tournament despite his initial shortcomings, and he would win the grand prize, Baron Administrator of the city. The Ugnaughts wanted a new Baron Administrator in office due to a long history of poor treatment from Bespin's industrialists, and Lobot's number crunching determined that Lando would be best at this. During his career as Baron Administrator, Lando did not publicly gamble as often as he preferred, as it was considered to be bad PR. Cloud City had ancient prohibitions against citizens gambling, despite fostering an active tourism industry based on casinos for just as long. However, during these years, a mysterious figure known as the Old Man appeared on the Cloud City gambling scene. This character would win and subsequently lose a fortune every time he played at Cloud City's many casinos. Lando eventually admitted that he was the Old Man, and he played for the thrill and lost the money on purpose. While working at his administrative position, Lando's gambling was not restricted to clandestine binges, however, and he maintained a professional gambling career. The money he earned through his trade was largely reinvested in operations at Cloud City. Other notable beings Lando played cards against included Quaffug the Hutt, whose life he also saved through gambling, Moff Lygin, Zorba the Hutt, Dash Rendar, and a host of other rebel fighters. It was Lando's referral, long after their match, that landed Dash a contract bodyguarding Luke Skywalker in 3.5 ABY. As the years went on, Lando's urge to gamble remained constant, and he lost a massive industrial operation through Sabacc. He eventually even lost his Baron Administrator position to Han Solo, though he found new work after winning the Ceramo Works factory.
The Balance Card. Sometimes, I really miss being a scoundrel.
Lando Calrissian. Although some of Lando's career choices have more than a questionable moral hue to them, on the whole, the man can be considered a hero who risked his lives in the service of the innocent and the oppressed on many occasions. Using the piloting skills learned from Han Solo, Calrissian flew with the Rebel Red Hand Squadron and fought a battle that freed the planet Elysia from the yoke of Hutt slavery. Though his motivation for defeating the space pirates raiding Tanab was commercial, he did defeat the villains and thus rescued the world's supply lines and economy from violence and theft. Calrissian demonstrated his paternal, if misguided, side when he spent an inordinate amount of time with Zack and Tash Aranda at Hologram Fun World, a virtual reality-based amusement park he was considering investing in. He even taught the young Zack Aranda how to play sabacc, among other adventures at the park. When a massive Imperial fleet numbering 500 ships blockaded the Thon Baca Nebula, trying with one maneuver to commit both genocide of the Oswaf species and ecocide by preventing space plankton vital to the nebula's unique ecosystem from entering, Lando saw an opportunity to make quick cash and do the right thing. Aboard the Falcon with the Vufi Ra, he impersonated a traveling merchant selling cigars and gambling on vessels throughout the blockade. He then made it to the cave of Thon Baca deep within the nebula and met with the Oswaft leader and devised a battle strategy the space-dwelling manta creatures could use to defend themselves against the Empire. During the battle, Vufi Ra's life was put in imminent danger, and the droid sent a distress signal summoning a massive Silentium fleet to the nebula. Faced with impossible odds, the Imperial blockade retreated and Vufi Ra departed with the Silentium fleet. During a friction-filled partnership, Han and Lando worked together again to locate Yavin Vasilika, the key which opened the Masasi Temple, later used as the rebel base of operations until after the Battle of Yavin. Baron Administrator was the title used by those in charge of large facilities like Cloud City, and the role was similar to both the mayor of a city and the chief executive officer of a corporation. The Aiean silk-lined cape Lando wore as Baron Administrator was a mantle of the office, worn by any who held the title. His administrator duties had Lando liaising regularly with corporate and public stakeholders. His term of office was defined by a number of popular reforms, such as stamping out corruption in the city's Wing Guard police force and repealing anti-immigration laws. Calrissian adopted technological innovations in order to improve his own performance, including wearing a wrist-mounted computer that allowed him to interface with Cloud City's central computer, and utilizing Lobot's cybernetic abilities to oversee the Wing Guard's reform. The industrial output of Cloud City was improved by Lando. He opened new refineries and scouted new Tibana gas plumes. The increased profits then allowed Administrator Calrissian to double Ugnaught wages, and Ugnaught workers, in turn, conceded to close down their competing refineries. The Queen of Air and Darkness card.
Notable Baron administrators to succeed Lando were Lobot, former Cloud City cyborg liaison, King Oz of the Ugnaughts, and Zorba the Hutt, though it is unknown if species-specific modifications to the Cape of Office had to be made to accommodate non-humanoid physiology. King Oz is notable for being the first Ugnaught Baron administrator in Cloud City's 400-year history, though the city was built with Ugnaught slave labor, and Ugnaughts have been an integral part of its economy and culture. Cloud City was the product of classic Carillion derring do as much as it was a product of tyranny and oppression. In 400 BBY, the Carillion entrepreneur and hyperspace pioneer, Eclesis Fig, had the Incom Corporation from his homeworld engineer the construction of Floating Home. He purchased the contracts of thousands of Ugnaught slaves and had Bespin's first permanent mining colony built. Inspired by the beautiful atmosphere visible all around Floating Home, Eclesis then decided to develop Floating Home as a tourist destination, and tourism has remained an important part of the world's economy throughout the centuries. Once construction was finished, Eclesis liberated his Ugnaught labor force, who then constructed the similar engineering marvel, the Ugnaught Surface, 1 kilometer beneath Cloud City. Inspired by his Alderanian wife, Fig transported a population of Thranta from her homeworld of Alderaan. After Alderaan's destruction, Bespin became one of the scattered enclaves in which the remnants of Alderaan's ecosystem survived. Contrary to the typical pattern of foreign species being introduced to an ecosystem and wreaking havoc there, Thrantas seem to coexist harmoniously with the indigenous flora and fauna of Bespin. Fig's presence remains felt to this day, as bas-relief sculptures of he and his wife remain on Cloud City, and designs for a rolling mining center were later used by Calrissian in the design of Nomad City on the planet Niklon. Such awe-inspiring Bespin natives as the blimp-like, tentacular, kilometer-spanning Beldon create its most commercial product, Tibana gas. This unique chemical compound is central to hyperspace travel, as it is necessary to cool hyperdrives, and plays a significant role in the armed conflicts which have plagued the galactic community throughout its existence. Spin-sealing Tibana gas allows it to be used in the production of blaster ammunition. This normally expensive industrial product is done naturally in Bespin's atmosphere, creating a second lucrative resource for the gas giant. To transport Tibana gas, it was funneled into chambers on Cloud City, which were filled with liquid carbonite. Once flash frozen, the carbonite then formed a container around the frozen Tibana and could be then easily transported. It so happened that the process used on Cloud City to prepare gas for transport could also be used to put living beings into a state of suspended animation. This property of carbonite was employed by pre-hyperspace space explorers and put an end to the use of generation ships. Long-term states of suspended animation can cause a host of negative psychological and medical side effects, from hypo to hypersensitivity. Lando, in collaboration with the artists Boba Fett and Darth Vader, created the famous Man in Carbonite sculpture in a Tibana gas processing center in Cloud City, later displayed briefly in Jabba the Hutt's art gallery before being destroyed by outspoken critics. Lando's later betrayal of Solo at Cloud City and subsequent rescue of his sometimes friend from Jabba's palace and his role in the Battle of Endor are well known. Less known is the commando strike team he led to recover medical supplies and the Byzantine machinations he enacted in order to infiltrate Jabba's palace and pull off the operation that rescued Captain Solo. Guilt haunted Lando after his act of betrayal, and he immediately sided with the rebels when his previous stance in the Galactic Civil War had been one of neutrality, despite being involved in an occasional rebel operation here and there. Before the mission to Jabba's palace, he saved Luke Skywalker's life, helped destroy an Imperial superweapon, and rescued Leia from a Khalees general, among other exploits. After marrying Tendra Lysant in 18 ABY, Lando's life began to calm down somewhat and became more predictable. Gone were the frenetic days of gallivanting across the galaxy, winning and losing fortunes in a single day. He and Tendra formed a company called Tendrando Arms, which they managed and prospered from for decades to come. The Arms Company produced YVH-1 battle droids, nicknamed Yuzandroids, due to resemblance to the aliens they were created to destroy. During his married life, Lando continued to aid burgeoning democracies and occasionally risk his life for old friends like Luke, Leia, and Han until at least 40 ABY. A year later, Lando Calrissian Jr. was born to Lando and Tendra, and their son would go by the nickname Chance.
The Lando System.
The reforms Calrissian brought to Cloud City were described by him as being part of the Lando System. The success he had during his office as a result of his system shows that Lando was more than a space flying, wheel and deal, and son of a Gundark. He thereafter focused his commercial efforts more on orthodox business enterprises, rather than devil-may-care domain of professional gambling or freelance spacing. After the betrayal at Cloud City, Lando entered the Galactic Civil War, earning a commission as general, which he retained until 7 ABY. After losing the Baron Administrator position to Zorba the Hutt in a game of Sabacc, Lando set out to the stars once again to find new fortunes. Armed with nothing but luck and charm, he considered investing in theme parks and other industries, and continued to serve the New Republic in various consulting capacities. His fortunes began to take on a familiar and more lucrative shape after obtaining mining rights to the Athega system. With investments from the New Republic, Lando achieved what had previously been thought impossible. Demonstrating a newfound talent with industrial design and engineering, Lando designed shield ships. These umbrella-shaped vessels accomplish one of the functions of an umbrella, protecting people from harmful stellar radiation. The danger shield ships protected against was far greater than most umbrella users deal with, though. Its extreme proximity to the star Athega made Niklon's orbital conditions too hazardous for most starships. To travel to the world then, ships would fly under the protective shadow of the shield ships. Inspired by preliminary schematics authored by Cloud City's founding father, Eclesis Figg, Lando combined a Dreadnought-class heavy cruiser and 40 AT-ATs to create Nomad City. Nomad City escaped the searing heat of Niklon's daytime surface by walking constantly on its 160 mechanical legs, always staying on the night side of the world as it mined and processed minerals like dolovite. This surface-crawling city and mining facility echoed Cloud City in devising technological solutions to the problems created for beings presented by extreme planetary environments, as well as earned a considerable 10 million credits a year in profits, until its destruction in 9 ABY. The facility was reclaimed following the Thrawn crisis, but never achieved pre-crisis profitability, and Lando lost it in a card game. By 11 ABY, Calrissian was a talent scout for the reformed Jedi Order, but such humdrum work could not suppress his entrepreneurial spirit. 2 years later, Lando partnered with his long-lost would-be lover, Mara Jade, and invested a million credits into spice mining operations on Kessel. The planetoid of Kessel and its industrial activities had an even more atrocious history of slave labor than Calrissian's first legitimate business venture, Cloud City. For centuries, the barren, scarred landscape and razor-thin atmosphere of Kessel hosted nothing but a prison and the galaxy's largest known glitterstim reservoirs. The prison on Kessel provided compulsory labor for the mines there and was exploited extensively by the Galactic Empire, among other organizations, throughout galactic history. Perhaps bringing his patented Lando system to bear again, Calrissian abolished the prison system and world and installed a Celestian friend named Nian Nub, whom he knew from his days as a rebel fighter, as administrator of the facility. Beings adapted to subterranean worlds like Nub's native Sullust were then recruited as the labor force of the newly free spice mines of Kessel. Lando's next notable business was Tendrando Arms, formed in 19 ABY, with his wife Tendra. Around this time, he opened a third mining business on ocean-covered world of Varn, as well as a casino there called the Deep Pockets. Gem Diver Station, in orbit over Yavin, was his fourth such business and also combined the tourism and mining industries. Lobot, Lando's faithful partner from his Baron Administrator days on Bespin, was instrumental in running Gem Diver Station. Perhaps inspired by nostalgia for the gas giant after working with Lobot again, Calrissian's next business venture was Sky Center Galleria on Bespin. By 40 ABY, the Calrissian family had amassed a substantial fortune, and new business ventures included a courier service that prospered in the absence of the HoloNet. In this period of his life, Lando spent time with his family and took up the hobby of sailing, among other less risky activities.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
All right, so the Incom Corporation has asked that we do things a little bit differently for our ad sponsorships in this episode. They wanted us to give kind of just an off-the-cuff endorsement of the fabulous YT series of Corellian freighters. So as our viewers might know, we've been flying the Millennial Falcon for years. There's lots of aftermarket parts and upgrades available for it, which are fairly easy to do as long as you've got a good Wookiee or astromech droid handy. They're really cross-compatible, and there's plenty of space inside for hiding things. The interior is durable. It doesn't hold much stink. We've tested this through many a late-night Sabacc game. And right now they're asking us to talk about the new YT-1300 class of light freighter. It's an affordable 100,000 credits. It's 35 meters long, maximum atmospheric speed of 800 kilometers, a Girodyne SRB-42 sublight engines, class 2 hyperdrive rating, using the renowned Corellian Avatar 10 hyperdrive system with a backup hyperdrive and a quad X power core. All new YT-1300s are equipped with shields capable of refracting, turbo laser blasts, one standard laser cannon and manual turret, and 6 escape pods. Visit Corellian Engineering Corporation on the HoloNet today for your local shipyard to purchase the YT-1300. If you purchase via HoloNet, use the promo code MINOX from Kessel for a special offer on the YT-1300F. Now with 100 metric tons of cargo capacity. All right, welcome aboard the Millennial Falcon. Guys, put down your Sabacc cards. Put out those tobacco pipes. We've got some discussion to do about Lando Calrissian here. But first, I've got a little announcement. So we are part of a network now. Don't worry, this is not going to change the content of our show in any way. We're not going to sacrifice our artistic principles. But there was an incident a little while ago when I was piloting the Millennial Falcon, and that pesky radar dish was lost, and we needed some more cash. So now Big Sin, or CYN, as some people like to call it, the Cinnabar News Network, they are now sponsoring the show. And they paid for those much-needed repairs to the radar dish.
So thank you for that big credit payout.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. So about Lando Calrissian, I discovered that he had a middle name, Balthazar, which is an interesting choice for a name for two reasons. And one is I'm pretty sure there's a Shakespeare character called Balthazar. But also, more anciently, that character in Shakespeare was probably taking his name from the Bible, as in Daniel 5:1, chapter 5, verse 1, Balthazar is talked about. And he was the king of Babylon who, quote, made a great feast and drank wine before 1,000, which is in general sort of Lando's character. He wasn't a big drinker, but he did like to drink, and he did drink a lot. As he played Sabacc, he often, though, and this is an interesting tactic, a good strategy, he would always order a drink that he didn't particularly like.
So he would drink it less.
So he would drink it less and not get too intoxicated to lose his wits, but, you know, a little bit. So he's still making those good, fun gambling choices that he makes many times throughout his career. I'm not sure if I said it in an episode yet, but I think at one point I may have called Han Solo a gambling addict. And compared to Lando, it doesn't even come close.
Yeah.
From you wrote the majority of the Han episode, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, gambling was part of his life, but not in the same way.
Not that the same way that Lando. Yeah.
Nowhere near the degree of Lando.
I think it just comes with the lifestyle that Han was living. It's not like Han was like.
Exactly. That wasn't his big thing. But yeah. Gambling was Lando's big thing until Cloud City, pretty much.
Yeah.
Lando really liked to live the high life.
That was his passion in life.
Yeah.
And so about Lando, and since we're talking about those sort of literary allusions, there's the sort of trickster or chaos agent archetype that guys like our buddy Joseph Campbell talks about.
Buddy might be a strong word.
And so one of the big aspects of the trickster archetype, which Lando sort of fills to a certain degree, is that they challenge the status quo with great risks that they take. And they maybe hate that status quo. So does that fit for Lando? He certainly, in The Empire Strikes Back, sort of upends our perception of him by when we find out that he, in fact, betrayed Han Solo. And so then that status quo is inverted, the safety that the rebels thought they had on Cloud City because of his decision. But then in general, like, is he really a guy who's against the status quo, or is he just a guy who's kind of out to have a good time?
Yeah, he strikes me more as, like, more self-interested. I actually kind of like a lot of the Legends material around Lando, because it's he's very much like a capitalist and is very interested in a lot of big, perhaps risky business ventures. But that kind of, to me, that kind of adds like a lot to a lot of depth to his character, and it almost makes his character in the movies make a little more sense. I think oftentimes the supporting material around particular characters in Legends can sometimes feel a little off from how they're portrayed in the movies, but it does seem like Lando is almost portrayed more accurately, if not better, in Legends.
Yeah, when we're introduced to Lando in the movie, like, that is as legitimate and like straight up and buttoned down as Lando has ever been in his life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still like a relatively new thing for him. Like, he's only been Baron Administrator for like a year or something at that point. So he's definitely cleaned up his act a lot from his youth by that time.
He's also just like, he's cool. He's so suave. And he's so smooth. And
except,
like, I don't know.
I will say, going against your idea that it's sort of supported in Legends, is that he strikes out quite a bit with the ladies.
Oh,
a lot of
Legends
material.
That, like, is true.
He's constantly getting shot down by everybody, and he has to like use Luke Skywalker order to get a date with
his
future
wife. But that's kind
of
his thing. He's like overconfident, right?
He's like one of those pickup artists.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to hit on like 1,000 girls and get turned down 999 times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, he's like quintessential 70s cool.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Even the way he dresses, like,
yeah.
And I'm glad you brought up the sort of free market thing, because I will actually say a correction. I believe in one of our earlier episodes, I said that the first Lando book kind of sucked, but I recently reread it, and it's actually kind of awesome. It reminds me a lot of Philip K. Dick, who we talked about on the last episode, and is very much in that sort of cyberpunk, frenetic, crazy, like, kind of action, fun sci-fi pulp kind of thing. And Neil Smith himself was and I think he's still alive, but is very much like a libertarian. And that's kind of, he was intentionally writing some of those ethics and values into Lando.
Okay, interesting.
When he did his trilogy
on
Lando. And now I've really got to finish reading the Lando trilogy, because, and what you were saying about Lando's Legends material being sort of really good as opposed to some of the more boring other Legends material is Neil Smith stuff. I mentioned the Nebula of Thonbaka, where there's these crazy, gigantic manta ray aliens that he makes friends with.
Yeah.
And then the Silentium, that's a very cool science fiction concept. And in that first Lando book, The Mind Harp of Sharu, it's also very interesting. It has to do with like xenoarchaeology and these, that sort of sci-fi trope of an ancient force that like comes every now and then to harvest human beings. And Lando kind of figures out what that's all about. And then The Flame Wind of Ossian is also another interesting science fiction concept, where it's the prime danger is just like this gambling tournament, and the sun is like shooting off these crazy exotic radiation forms. So it sounds like all good, interesting science fiction, not just kind of, we're just playing with the toys that George Lucas gave us in the first three movies.
They're inserting some novel ideas.
Having novel ideas in their novels, which is good. Another thing, more archaeology Lando is strangely invested in or involved with, in addition to the Sharu, on the ice world of Maltha Obex. There was an archaeological expedition present with some of his other random adventures, and that archaeology piece sort of, that's what the Mind Harp of Sharu is, essentially like Raiders of the Lost Ark in space or something. Like, it's very much an Indiana Jones in space kind of a story.
Does Han Solo take part in that?
Han Solo does not take part.
Oh, that's a missed opportunity.
I think that's good though. It's original.
Is it?
He was on Earth at that time with Chewbacca. As we
discussed, AKA the Sasquatch.
The Sasquatch, yes. As we discussed, there is absolute continuity between Star Wars and Earth. Yeah. Also, another fun thing, there's actually two fun things that have to do with how deeply embedded fan culture has been with Star Wars almost since the beginning, or for a very long time anyway. The planet Niklon was named by Timothy Zahn in his Thrawn trilogy after a fan named Klon Newell. And then also, there is a alien on Bespin. And Bespin, by the way, I could write a whole biology episode just on Bespin. There's some really fun sci-fi stuff going on.
I was
there.
Surprised to hear that they had any kind of a...
Yeah,
Animals or anything like that.
There's quite a sophisticated ecosystem going on Bespin.
Because Bespin's a giant gas.
Yeah, it's a gas giant. It's Jupiter or Neptune or something, right?
Yeah.
And there's actually, in the Star Wars universe, there's this sort of concept of, I think it's called, it might just be called the habitable zone, the life zone. So the life zone is like the band in a gas giant that is habitable. Right, and so in
is this in real terms or Star Wars terms?
This is Star Wars terms.
Okay,
I don't know if there's ever could be such thing as a life zone on a gas giant, given
to
what we know about
an entrepreneur,
gas giants.
Any entrepreneur,
but to an entrepreneur, exactly,
sounds like an opportunity.
And I always actually wondered about this specific thing about Bespin too. It's like, I don't think Jupiter is. You could breathe on Jupiter. Why are these? Why are they? They seem to be alive outside, but apparently there's a concept called life zone on a lot of gas giants in the Star Wars universe. So it's a band in the atmosphere that goes around the planet where it can support life, right?
Right.
And that's about, I think it's 10 kilometers or something like that on Bespin. But anyway, back to another interesting creation from the fans is the Tybanuk. So if you look up the Tybanuk on Wikipedia, the only picture of it looks like a child drew it with crayons. And that is because a child did draw it with crayons. And he won a LucasArts competition to design an alien. So that's very cool. Let me look up the kid's name if it's there. I didn't write down his name. He doesn't matter. But anyway, these Tybanuk creatures, they fed on Tabana gas, which they processed in their lungs. And they were kind of a nuisance in the general mining of Tabana gas, obviously, because they're going after it. The miners are going after that, and you have these creatures trying to grab the same thing. And I believe they might have been sentient as well, which is interesting. because there was a bounty on them at one point that had to be repealed. And so about Lando's sort of relationship with drugs and alcohol, it's that he knows the smell of Carababa tobacco and Armudu spice. That's a particular blend. And he knows that smell well enough that if somebody's been smoking that and like 10 hours later he goes into the room, he knows
what you've been doing.
He knows exactly what you've been doing. He demonstrates that in the Thrawn Crisis. They sort of figure out who stole a ship based on Lando's nose.
So he's pretty familiar with illicit substances.
Yes, he's quite. I'm not sure how illicit or what kinds of spice are.
Yeah, that might be something worth investigating.
That's a whole episode.
Or asking the Imperial authorities. They might let us know with a handy list.
That's true. And that's pretty much it. He's another abolitionist, Lando is. Well, not really an abolitionist, but certainly a workers' rights guy, he demonstrates with the Ugnaughts.
That's actually an interesting perspective, because he is like your market capitalist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going around, like, depending on your persuasion.
Yeah.
He would be the one who's theoretically enslaving other people through wage slavery, or alternatively liberating literal slaves through free market capitalism. So it's a little interesting.
Yeah, so I believe at the time when he became Baron Administrator, the Ugnaughts were free, but they were very underpaid.
Did he do anything and to remedy that?
He
paid doubled, them fairly.
He literally doubled their wages.
Yeah.
But he did that through also increasing Cloud City's profits by like 35%, which on an operation like Cloud City, it's got dozens of casinos and its own industry and the Tabana Gas. I'm guessing that was not a simple thing to accomplish.
Yeah, he would have had to been like a very effective CEO. But I
think Lobot was really doing all the heavy lifting.
He was really brains behind the operation.
that operation, and Lando is just the face. But
Lando does have like multiple successful ventures, though.
Yeah,
it's just his damned gambling habit that
he literally loses like almost everything except Tendrando arms.
Yeah.
I suspect because his wife would not put up with that.
Yeah. She claims 51% ownership,
and that also is an interesting part of Lando's personality. He's in his 30s by Shadows of the Empire, right? And he doesn't get married until 18 ABY. Which would put him like in his mid 40s.
Yeah. Well, you can't. You know, he's a player.
He's a player.
He can't be chained down.
Yeah. So it takes him quite a while to, grow up in the standard sense of the term. He's in his 40s by his first marriage. And then he's like, I guess he'd almost be in his 60s by the time he has his first kid. So Tendro must have been quite a few years younger than him as well, but I haven't double-checked that.
Well, makes sense for a billionaire to...
It definitely seems like something Lando would do. Yeah. I'm not casting shade. sort of lines up with how we feel about Lando, I think. Yeah.
Kind of playboy, you know? So
playboy billionaire.
Yeah, basically.
Well,
I also found out in the research for this episode that there are actually 5 satellite galaxies around the galaxy far, far away. So stay tuned for an exciting future episode on extragalactic galaxies. I don't even know what to call it.
Astro extragalactic galaxies.
Exactly. And so that's about all I have to say.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, what do you guys say we go visit one of these pleasure worlds that...
Let's go. I'm running low on my Amudu spice.
Hit up Bespin and...
I know Jordan's fiending for some glitter stim.
Gem Diver Station.
I'm sure we can gamble some more money our way.
Yeah, we have that new CYN budget that can start playing with here.
Oh, you know what? And I bet we can write off our gambling losses and say we are entertaining business partners or something.
Potential guests.
Excellent. All right. May the forks be with you.
You are listening to the Star Lores Podcast. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Why, you stuck up, half witted, scruffy looking nerf herder!
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up.
freaking power converter.
Thanks for flying with us. Jordan here. Just wanted to let everyone know what's happening here at the Star Lores podcast. Star Lores is now on Discord. If you would like to join the Star Lores Cantina Discord server, you can find a link in the description or on any of our social media accounts. Reach out with a DM or email. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by searching the Star Lores podcast. Go ahead and give our page a like and send us a message. You can also email at starlorespodcast@gmail.com. Send us your fan art, Star Wars collections, or fan fictions, and you may even get a feature on one of our pages or even the show. Don't be afraid to offer corrections or add to any of the topics that we discuss on the show. We are also on Patreon, so if you want to help us pay the bills, as well as get a few awesome perks like bonus episodes, access to the private Facebook group, or the VIP section of the Discord server, head on over to patreon.com/StarLores and sign up for as little as $1 a month. And finally, make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcatcher app or YouTube, as well as sending us a 5-star review on iTunes. This really helps us reach a wider audience. Enjoy the rest of the show.